Blog Talk Radio.
It doesn't listen at all. It doesn't.
We'll do it together.
Welcome to the visitors section. It's your host, Josh Hastings and Mike Irwin. Mike, NFL Combine, lots to talk about. I'm trying to do my best as a Jim Rome radio host. Lots of pauses and starts because, you know, I mean, I just want to let people know. One of the major other influences, there's a lot of influences between me and Mike of what created this fucking show. And one for me is, and it's odd because I'm nothing like that. I'm nothing like L.A. I'm nothing L.A. at all. But Jim Rome Show, without a doubt. The Jungle, Smack Talk, all that stuff. It's good stuff if you grew up in that. Now, I don't know. Now it's not so much what it used to be. But that's okay because Jim's got to have a bit more maturity. Got to have clones that hate him just as much as like him because he pushes them to the edge of the cliff just so he can get certain things.
I think when you talk about pushing someone to the edge of the cliff, can't help but look at visitor section's very own Brian. This week we were last week we were told, guess what guys, you're gonna make it to the combine. You're gonna be there. Get to see the wide receivers run their route, you know, their 40-yard dashes. Because I mean, there's parts of the combine, let's just be serious, that are not fun to watch. But 40-yard dashes are always fun. I like to measure a man's hands. It really gives me a feel for what kind of player he's going to turn into.
I've never seen draft Twitter go so apeshit over a people's hand size.
But the problem being that when I got on this
play, what is the over-under? Like 5 inches?
It's just when I got on the plane,
people are like, ooh, 8 and 7/8?
I really thought we were going to be going to the combine, Josh, and we're not at the combine.
No, we're at the co-op.
Yeah, outside of Combine,
outside,
Texas.
Outside, yeah.
Which is Combine, Texas,
yeah,
and the Combine are different things. They're literally different things and completely different.
Yeah, we're
nowhere
near Indianapolis.
And the problem is this keeps happening.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
So,
I like, you know, a lot of ice.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of countryside.
Yeah, that's the sound of frustration, Brian. That's the sound of frustration. That this keeps happening. It's cold here. It's cold. There's nobody running routes. There's nobody being thrown to. There's like a cow, a house, and you know what? 35 miles up the street, I found
like,
a Taco Mayo.
Like wind. Is there some wind going through the studio?
Well,
we have our, when we go on the road, when we do our traveling, we like to set up different, like, makeshift studios. A lot of people don't understand. Like, we got our little mobile tops, little mobile, you know, tablets, and our little gear going on.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if Brian had come to me and said specifically, okay, so you guys are going to be in Combine, Texas.
I swear, when you talk, I hear, like, wind, like, whistling through. But anyway.
Well, I mean, part
weird,
of that
is, like, because, a draft or something.
Well, because tonight we got stuck in that barn. We got stuck in the barn. And it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm really not happy with him, Josh. Yeah. And I don't know what to do at this point because we don't pay him. So it's like, can you fire someone you don't pay? Like,
I don't know how much we're really missing out, though. Maybe he has some genius behind this because we did catch some on the television. That can be said. And the only thing I think we missed was god-awful tattoos, stupid Jesus pieces, and the high-altitude masks. I don't see any point of those masks whatsoever.
Well, see,
I think you're really dumb if you wear that. Matt.
I had to stream a good chunk of the NFL Combine performance on my phone because instead of, I don't know, knowing that I was going to Combine, Texas, which is literally 4 hours north of me.
Yeah.
I get on a plane. It goes to Houston. And then it goes to El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes to Dallas. And then I got to take a shuttle to Combine, Texas.
Yeah, the shuttle was pretty – see, I'm the opposite way. Me and Mike have to meet in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And the shuttle was – we met up where the shuttle was and – I don't necessarily want to say that a Ramada in van is quite a shuttle, but I guess it does a service.
Yeah,
I'm used to the, you know, rental car shuttle where it's an actual bus. Sit down, we get places to put our luggage.
I feel like...
And when I say Ramada in van, it's not even an 18-seater. It's a van converted for like four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like they had put like park benches and then covered them with like red velvet. Like it was not what you would expect from
red, you know, velvet.
You know. But anyway, it was an uncomfortable ride. It's been an uncomfortable trip. I've missed most of the combine. You know, thank God that I can still get cell service out here. Otherwise I don't know what we'd be doing tonight. But yeah, I mean, let me break down the hard hitting action I saw on the NFL website for the combine.
Hard hitting action.
I watched a dude stand ready to do his 40
mm-hmm.
for a good 5 minutes, and they talked about his gold watch.
Mm.
Talked about his lucky gold watch,
okay.
And how he wears it at practice. He wears it in the shower.
That's not good.
He wears it, you know, everywhere he goes except game day.
Mm.
But now, if you could take that conversation and if you could repeat it back to me, Josh, and if you could repeat it back to me about 7 times over the next 5 minutes, that would be my experience watching the combine online. Like I like the combine. I don't want
to watch this uncomfortable hunk of metal I shoved up my ass from that hell pit of Hanoi.
Well, apparently the wearing the lucky gold watch was
oh,
weighing
Butch
him down.
Put that shit on his wrist.
Well, they were like, well, looks like he's not doing the gold chain. Instead, he went with the gold watch.
Instead of the awful tattoo, he went with multiple awful tattoos. This one says, go Knowles forever.
It was funny because he didn't graduate there. He just did 2 years, and really he redshirted for one, and then he started 8 games. But you know what? He's at the combine, and now you're rooting for him.
Yeah.
So who's your top performer from this NFL combine, Josh?
I really have not one clue. I think the guy who set world record for the broad jump, right?
Mm.
There's that guy.
Yeah, there's that guy. You know, and when you looked at the historical comparison for people who did well at the broad jump.
Who's doing that? Is this the World Guinness? I mean, who has this? Who had the previous record? Why isn't it always just there? And does that really translate to NFL skills? I mean... Obviously, we want to block field goal kicks. And I guess if we put him in, if he can get off the edge fast enough, he can, you know, jump all the way over there. But I just don't understand.
He's gonna run from the edge, and he's going to jump 12 points. Like,
it's like the time when you're in elementary school doing all these stupid events for gym. Like you had the box where you reach and you reach with the box with a ruler on it, and you try to see how far you can reach down. How about jump rope for hard? Yeah, that was really good. I think, did you see that guy jump rope for, you know, 10 hours?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah,
I did.
That's going to translate to some good football.
Yeah, it's like when I can't do a standing broad jump to save my life. But I tell you what, I can still run, catch, hit, throw. Like, it's never been a problem.
So this
like,
one day, months away from the draft and months away from the season starting,
yep.
Can really depend on how great of a football player you are and your career.
Well, Byron Jones.
One day.
He
jumped the draft.
4 yards.
He jumped the draft.
He jumped 4 yards into the draft. Congratulations to that guy. Unfortunately, I've never seen this stat in particular get any attention.
I know.
B, ever translate. So
none of these. I mean, I guess the shuttle times.
I like shuttle times. I really do. Like it shows that you can change direction.
Change to speed. Yeah.
Got acceleration. That's
40
good.
Times. I'm okay. I mean, you're gonna get a baseline.
Yeah,
It's not gonna be like, oh, this guy sucks or this guy's phenomenal. I mean, I don't know, man. There's guys out there that ran really fast 40 times and just hasn't done shit. And there's a whole plethora of Raider players that can attest to that. Thanks, Al.
Yeah. Ding. I think part of it is that, well, you know, it's that time of the year and we need something to talk about.
Yeah, it's one of these deals where if you tune in the show to really get keen inside to the Combine, I don't think this is your show.
It's probably not your show. Yeah. Probably not the show you should be listening to.
I mean, I just think Jameis Winston sounds like an idiot, but I knew that before.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I like him is probably because of all the other things that surround him, not necessarily the, I guess, football ability. When I look at him, I think Brian Leftwich, and I don't really waver off of that at all. People want to talk about his velocity and his changes, his speed change or some shit because he plays baseball. Or will he play baseball? Will he not? He's not going to rule it out, but I'm going to tell you right now, in today's athlete, you don't have time for that shit. Then you got Marcus Mariota. You know, this guy is just, what's he going to do? Is he fat? Is he going to be one of these mobile quarterbacks? Are the Jets going to draft him? Are we going to blow another pick on somebody that might bust? And there's Chip Kelly that's going to do everything he possibly can to get Marcus Mariota. And do the Buccaneers actually win by getting Jameis Winston? I don't think so. But they did let go of Josh McCown, so I guess it's pretty much
oops,
all but said. They're so drafting a quarterback. Or maybe it's just smokescreen. They can peel back and get somebody else.
So here's my question to you, Josh.
You get the neck. Starting the neck, Glennon.
Mike Glennon is a serviceable backup.
Yeah.
So my question for you, Josh,
every year we put these prospects to be these huge things that they're never going to be. They're never going to be these things. I think Jameis Winston, one being a friend of ours, we were texting back and forth, you know, he has high hopes for him. I'm not on that end of the spectrum. He's Brian Leftwich. That's a good career. There's nothing wrong with that, but you're going to blow a first-round pick on that? That's not me. That's not how I would run a franchise. But then again, I'm not in the power seat, so who the fuck cares what I think?
Yeah, I just feel like a lot of teams.
Adult language.
They get a guy, say they go, hey, you know what? For some reason, some imaginary reason, I think it'd be great to get a Josh McCown and pay him a bunch of money, even though historically he's never been good at football. But he had one good year where he looked really good. He had like a Mike McMahon season, and then I want to pay him for that, so he'll come do that for me. And then he shows up, and he is the Josh McCown that we knew he was.
Yeah.
And then they go, you know what we need to do? We need to get another Josh McCown.
We need to get another younger Josh McCown.
So I feel like a lot of times you see teams, they have a certain type of player, like whether it be a running quarterback, for instance.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work for them. I don't know.
Never works. Okay. When has the running quarterback worked?
Well, okay,
so more than a season.
It's not a great example, but just go with me on that.
Now, so, I want to ask all these the life-changing quarterbacks or the NFL changing, you know, we're changing the landscape. This is the future. When has that worked past a season?
Well, I mean, that's the point. So like say you're Washington, uh-huh, and you go, "I have RG3. He's dead now."
I'll grab like 2012 priors and just keep throwing them in every year.
What's the point? Then you go to the NFL draft, and I hear people go, they got to get Mariota. They've got to.
Well, look at this hard-hitting question from ESPNS. Which team drafting in the top five needs to take a quarterback? The Buccaneers, Titans, Jaguars, Raiders, Redskins. Redskins? No. That's really worked out for them. Raiders? No, they have one. Carr. Jaguars got one as well. Titans? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe. And the Buccaneers, well, not, you know, obviously. But I don't think you want to blow a top pick on this. I just...
Not so fast, my friend.
Not so fast, my friend.
I just want to tell you that
that's
apparently...
football, not... Yeah.
It's, if you're a Tennessee Titans fan, someone woke up this morning and decided to tell you a big fat lie that Tennessee Titans are just all in with Mettenberger. Remember that season, like that preseason? They're like...
Mettenberger's not too bad. I mean, he's not... But let's give the guy some. Let's let him breathe is what I'd say.
Let's say what it is. And there was a point when the Washington Redskins were saying, you know what, John Beck has done everything we've asked him to do. He's studied the playbook. He stayed late. He's been a real leader. This guy has an opportunity to start. And then you know where John Beck was like week two? He's gone. He's just gone. He's not here anymore.
Wasn't very good. I think we talked about that.
If you are a Tennessee Titans fan, God bless you because you don't exist. But if you do for some reason
there's some out there.
And you honestly believe...
We have family of the show that live there and are friends.
Are they fans of them?
I don't know. But I can't verify that. Brian, you want to verify? No, you just...
you wanna get Bonnie on the phone. Get Bonnie on the phone right now.
No, she's a Packer fan. It wouldn't even be her.
Oh, God. Okay, yeah. So the issue being that if you've talked yourself into the Zach Mettenberger... Is
good luck with that. But you never know.
Good enough...
Just let it breathe.
Good enough not to have to draft a quarterback, period, in this draft, you are a crazy person. Like...
Yeah, you do have to draft one, but I just feel like we've pushed the quarterbacks all the way up. Kind of like, you know, where the running backs used to rule in the first round.
Yep.
Now they've really slid back. Do you see a running back going this year in the first round?
Well, it's funny because I've started to look.
I'm not laughing.
No, it's not funny, but it depends on whose mock draft you're looking at.
Okay.
There are some people who I feel like don't know anything about football who have two running backs going in the first round. I think that's going to be tough. You know, there's obviously Todd Gurley.
That's pretty harsh.
Pretty
harsh, man.
It's pretty tough because your two candidates, right? You've got Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
And you've got Todd Gurley.
Yeah, coming off injury.
Right, but that's never stopped anybody from making a stupid move. And that guy can play. Like, when you watch him play and he's healthy and theoretically, let's imagine that he's going to be healthy, okay. which it might be a stretch at this point. But
I'm going to say, the way these drafts have been working out, you just don't have a clue. Mm-hmm. You don't have a clue. Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, obviously one of the top two picks, you know, people are making, but that might not happen. They might just go ahead and fall, and then later on they get, you know, some team trades up, a team with an earlier pick trades up to get in there.
Well, and so, you know, so meanwhile, I'm reading reports from folks like the Bucks have a better grade on Jameis Winston than they had on Cam Newton and Matt Stafford coming out of college. And I'm like, well, the knock on Stafford was, can the guy stay healthy? And then the knock on Cam Newton was, is he going to be, like, able to control his shitty behavior into the pros?
And for
the most part, he has.
Yeah.
But I don't have that faith in Winston.
Let's ignore the rape allegation.
It's not even that. It's the
but
crab
legs. But let's just
go
off the crab legs, which have been apparently worse. Has that ever happened? Has that ever happened where crab legs were worse than the rape allegation?
Well,
much like a motorcycle crash versus a rape allegation in the bathroom.
Yeah, it's weird how some people are just willing to overlook certain things.
Guy for some crab legs.
That dude should have been wearing a helmet, first of all. That shouldn't
now,
happen.
Now, granted, this is why I say we don't live in a rape culture, because I'm automatically assuming he did it.
Well, yeah. I think that's just America for you. Yeah. But
okay, anyway. Back to the running backs, by the way. We're going into back to the running backs.
Operate for a minute. All right.
You're saying not in the first round, but there's like the bottom half of the first round that these teams down there could take a shot.
Yeah.
Like the Colts with Melvin Gordon, or maybe the Ravens with Todd Gurley, where it's like, oh, we're going to lose 4-7. We've got a backfield that we don't have to plug them in right away or anything.
Look, if I'm making the line, it's really difficult for me because I want to make it – I feel like I have to make it 1.5.
Yeah.
But I really think that if you're just taking a pick 'em at 2, like there's no way you get 3 running backs. You might get 2. You're right. There might be a guy who slips in like pick 30.
Yeah, I'm thinking running backs is from 25 and below.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Gurley could go middle, but it's funny because you'll look at these mock drafts and someone will have them like number 7, and then some dude will not even have him in the first round.
Well, right now it's still a little early.
It is very early because, you know, I spent most of my week doing research on Ollie Marpet out of Hobart. Ollie Marpet out of Hobart.
Man.
Best friend of the visitor section. He doesn't know it yet. He's not aware, but we're best friends. We're going to be good friends.
Okay.
So look for Ollie Marpet going, I want to feel somewhere in the third. I feel like he should go in the third, maybe the fourth, because when I think of the NFL draft, I don't just think of a first round, Josh. I think of 7 full rounds of important draft picks that will change the lives of every football team.
Come on.
No, you're right. It's ridiculous. Like, half the guys who get drafted will not be on a team.
We don't, me and you love this topic because I think, I don't know if we did it last year, but we did do it previous years where we had our own mock draft. I think we only had one. There's only one. We wait till like the week before the draft, and we throw our hat in the ring of, hey, this is what we think. And I think it's pretty damn good, if you ask me. But nobody gives a shit. Let's just look at the let's just say yes or no. Tampa Bay takes a quarterback. Yes or no? Okay, yes or no. Tampa Bay takes quarterback or trades out.
I think they take it. I don't see why they wouldn't.
Okay, Tennessee, same situation.
Well, if you believe the hype and you're an idiot, then you say they trade out. But I don't see them necessarily being able to trade out for what they'll ask for. And it doesn't even matter if they take a quarterback. They're going to stay at that position.
The Eagles trade all the way up to number 2 and take Marcus Mariota.
No.
Jacksonville Jaguars staying put. I think they have to. They've really doubled down on how shitty they can become.
Well, it comes down to what can you get for that
pick. I will give the Jags this, Mike. Mm-hmm. They did get some sacks. Look, I said, you know what? You get some sacks, Jaguars, and I'll recognize you. They did. They went out and got some. They got a quarterback in the wings. Something could bust. But then again, they got a lot of hipster fucking fans that I really can't stand.
So, Josh, are you talking about me?
No,
so
you're not a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, and you're not a hipster. But there's a lot of those beard fuckers with the black frame glasses with snapbacks on.
And they're all wearing Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, they're like, hey, look at me.
And they tucked it in like Peyton Manning because that's a thing. So, anyway, so this is how I see it falling. Mm-hmm. Let's just pretend Tennessee doesn't move.
They all stay.
And they don't pick a quarterback. Then I think the Jacksonville Jaguars could possibly move out of that position if someone actually wants to move up for Mariota.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the kind of conversation we're going to be having in 3 weeks, let alone, you know, when it comes time for the draft. But I think if you're Jacksonville, I think if you're that high in the draft, after those two quarterbacks, the only stuff that's really interesting are like DNs. And if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, you really need, I don't know, everything offensive. So if you could move to the middle of the draft, pick up a couple picks in the second, why wouldn't you do that? Like if you're Jacksonville,
yeah, other you should.
Than that, I mean, that's what
Jacksonville's in a great spot to definitely be trading out and maybe sliding to like, you know, the 10 range.
I thought you were going to say 6. It's like, come on, man. Jets are not going to take Mariota.
No, I think the Jets need to grab a fucking wide receiver, but let's just see who's available. Got the Oakland Raiders, I think everybody's pretty much said Kevin White, Oakland Raiders, it makes sense, Derek Carr there, but you never know.
You don't know, and I think, you know, there's obviously been some players that they've been very interested in, namely defense, but the problem I have with the Oakland Raiders is that they've had so many poor drafts.
Can they afford another poor draft? I think so.
I mean, can they afford it? Sure. Yeah. But should they have one? No. Like, I think that would be detrimental to their health as a football team.
And here's my most hated franchise, I think. My newly most hated franchise is the Washington team from D.C. I don't like their head coach. I don't like their schemes at all. I don't like anything on the defensive side of the ball. I don't like anything offensively. I think I made that clear when I said Jay Gruden is not very good. Fat Gruden is not very good at coaching. I think it's silly to keep doing this every year. They might as well just go ahead and fire Jay, get it over with, and just start from scratch with somewhere else. Here they are, number 5. Of course, a very boring, a lot of people mock in an offensive tackle for them, which I would say, sure, why not? Can't get any worse. So just take a tackle, offensive tackle.
Yeah.
And then you got the shitty Jets. Just to balance out the hate, the shitty Jets. And by the way, I have a bone to pick with the 49ers. I don't know when this happened, but it feels like we traded front offices, and the Jets, of all people, are making sound decisions where the 49ers are looking more like the Jets' front office. I digress about that for a minute. But
well, okay, so I think part of it really boils down to 49ers got really tired of winning. And...
Well,
Maybe the Jets got tired of losing. I don't know. Let's not get ahead of ourselves on that part. But the 49ers have just said, you know what? We had too many good seasons there. Remember the late 90s when we weren't, you know, so good?
Remember when we ran Frank Gore into the ground?
Remember when we talked about bringing Dennis Erickson back to turn it around? Like, let's just do that again. That was fun. Let's do that.
I don't know how they sold it to their fans. I know Colin Kaepernick is out there really trying hard to make an impression. This much is true. He's went off on some random dude on Twitter like it fucking mattered. I guess it gets tiring. I understand. I just want to say this. I do understand about Colin Kaepernick being frustrated with getting shit on all the time. But you know what shuts people up? You know what shuts people up the most? Especially when you have it quoted on your Twitter about being a silent man says this shit or some, I don't know, I don't care because it's irrelevant, because you do exactly the opposite of what your own fucking Twitter bio says.
He didn't write it, I'm sure. Well, is it tattooed on his body? Because if it's his body, then I can't take it seriously.
But he's trying to do, you know, he's trying to put in work. At the same time, trying to sell it to the public that he's putting in work, which I just can't stand it. Let other people – let your play do the talking. Let your actions do – you don't talk. You just do your thing. His PR – a lot of athletes have some really bad PR people. Just – look, Colin, man, just relax, dude. Take a fucking chill pill, okay? Everybody still loves you. It's okay.
I don't
It's okay.
Him.
Relax.
I don't like him.
I don't really like him either, but the point is – and it's only probably because of the Nike tattoo. If he could get that removed, I would probably feel a little bit better about it.
So you said this earlier about the drafts we used to write. I want to go on record that our first draft was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
It was like 100%.
Yeah, I mean, between the two of us, we got like 99% of the draft right.
I think I nailed it. It was that one where the Cowboys jumped up and take Mo Claiborne. Boy, that worked out.
But yeah,
anyway,
I mean,
I was right about the jumping up when everybody's like, they just can't do that.
Yeah, so you know, I had Muscle Hamster sneaking into the first round, and that kind of stuff.
I also had Muscle Hamster doing one thing against shitty defenses and never hearing from him again.
So I mean, so there was some good stuff there.
Yeah,
you know, it ended up being David Wilson. I just remembered that, but let's just go with Muscle Hamster. And then the second year we had a slightly okay draft. It was a year that everyone was wrong. It was a Geno Smith induced, I don't know, football coma on every writer in the North American hemisphere.
I don't blame anybody. I mean, this, by the way, I do not knock anybody that writes about the draft and try to be accurate and try to be like, this is, I mean, you just go off the best you can possibly do and just hope for the best at the same time.
I just wish we got paid to to create a mock draft where we could get, 90% of it completely wrong. Maybe more than that. Let's go 95%
of it. Let's go 98.766666.
And then I also wish I had the gall to be, well, look at that 16th pick. Guess who got that? I did. Like, I don't have that in me. Like, I just don't possess it.
I wish we could get paid the same way.
But on top of that, I think you're forgetting about one of our more successful drafts, which was our Vontaze Burfict draft, the revisionist draft the year after he was drafted.
Yeah.
In which he was drafted by every team in the NFL.
That's just true.
So
I thought that was the best one.
That was a pretty good one.
That was 100%.
100%. One of those rare moments on the visitor section, we just got it. We just nailed it.
Bruce Arians signed a contract to keep him the head coach of 2018. Like it matters, because he could be fired next year, and none of that shit really matters. So these news of signing really cracked me up, because it really doesn't matter. They also released Ted Ginn Jr., because we all saw that one coming. Thanks, Miami.
Can I go? Thanks for bringing him into the league. Mm-hmm. Can I go on the record and say that I don't like his hat?
Who?
Bruce Arians.
It's really cheesy, yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like it. There's got to be something better.
No, that's his thing, man.
That's stupid.
That's his thing. It might be stupid, but you have a hat like that.
Yeah, it's not bright red.
It's multiple
colors.
He's got multiple colors, man.
I'm not a 59-year-old man. Like, I don't know.
You put that too nicely. You're not a 59 overweight man.
Just trying to not talk about that part. I didn't want to make it a thing.
The Panthers, I think, let go of D'Angelo Williams. I don't know if he's sure, but I think he's sure. I don't know.
He's pretty sure. They just won't say it out loud. So.
He said they let him go last week. Not a lot of, you know, hey, whatever.
Well, it just it's cap room implications. If they cut him later, they
save. Well, Jesus, the guy's lived on a fat contract to be injured.
Yeah. If you're one of those running backs, they have two running backs because neither of them stay healthy for more than six games a year. So, and I don't know. Did you read any of his reasoning for why he was being let go? Because he seemed about it.
I'm sure he is bitter because who wants to let go out of that contract? That was a nice contract. I don't have to play that much. I get to share the backfield, and I'm injured half the time. Now, granted, I do have some sympathy for him, but at the same time, it's not really lighting it up for his pay.
Oh. No, it hasn't been. He's a huge – sorry, guy. You're a huge burden on the salary cap. So.
We got to let you go. I mean, they made promises to Cam to get him some talent. No offense to D'Angelo. But
we're not talking about you.
You're not playing in the edge anymore.
No, you're 32 years old, man. You're as old as I am. Like, yeah, I've got a couple good years in me, but I don't think anybody's paying me $5 million a year. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know, Josh. I don't know.
Definitely interesting. Lots of cornerback talk, lots of wide receiver talk. I think that obviously goes without being said. That's usually the big deal because that's what runs this league, passing and playing pass defense. Again, defensive backs should not really worry about 40-yard dashes because at no point do you ever see them doing anything like that.
Straight lines.
Maybe interception. And that's very rare, by the way, to see an interception. Like, it's not like interceptions for returning for touchdowns are happening at an astronomical rate. Otherwise, you'd be like, you know, Charles Woodson or Deion Sanders or some of that ilk. No! We're going straight to The Walking Dead. This is our new show.
Yeah.
But you know what? What's interesting? You know what bothers me the most?
Just go on.
No, I'm going to wait until this is over.
Well, you gotta let the credits go, because if you don't let the credits go, you won't know who's on the show. Special guest, Michonne. New Rick.
Michonne and New Rick.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Rick's beard. Michonne and Rick's beard. I guess I don't know of how many people are tuning in just to hear our Walking Dead talk, but I am thinking a lot, too.
Probably zero. 0% of people.
Now that we've gotten, for those of the fans of the show, you're probably delusional. You really just sit there, and I understand. Look, I'm in the same boat as you. I'm just trying to be your conscience, your little voice, your Jiminy Cricket, if you will. The show sucks. Like, there's no part of this is very good. But it's okay. It's okay. I understand. We don't have much on TV these days, and compared to everything else, it's better than that.
Yeah.
But point of it all is this episode is another next week episode. I think I said that last week, and I'm going to say it again this week. Another next week episode. It didn't really hit it home for me. I don't really care. A lot of agenda pushing, I feel like, to a degree. All I'm going to say is, if you look at the statistics of people that are on, they're in the United States, and you look who survived and made it to this final group, those numbers don't add up. That's all I'm going to say. That shit ain't adding up, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's pretty diverse. I think it's pretty,
it's
pretty good.
It's too diverse.
Nah, it takes place in, like, outside of Atlanta.
It takes place in Georgia.
Yeah.
In the sticks. This is where it originally started.
I mean, honestly, like, if this was the NFL, we would have too many wide receivers on this show.
Come on!
So,
it doesn't, like, all I'm saying is it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter, ultimately, no. Do you want a huge diversity? Yes. But I don't want to hear any complaining about how one dies and another replaces it. Because there's plenty of other ones.
That is suspicious.
Might be suspicious, but we are like bypassing Michonne.
Yeah, I don't
and
like
we're
her.
Told, why?
She talks too much.
By the way, you know, I wanted to say what bothers me is the after show. It was the what is it?
Oh,
Talking
even,
Dead?
I don't even
what
know.
What is that called? But anyway, yes, you do. You know
no,
you watch that.
No, I don't because I have to legally stream this stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
I'm in a world without cable, man.
He says talk. He gives out the 1-800 number. It's like talk live or dead live. It's dead live. Just say dead live, you fucker. It's the same word. It
no.
makes better sense that way.
No, it doesn't. Dead Can I tell you what? I'm afraid next week is going to be like a memoriam on PTSD. Like, I don't feel – I didn't see anything in the preview that made me go, man, I can't wait till next week. It seems like they're just walking around empty houses and they're having a hard time dealing with being an empty house. Like, maybe I took that completely wrong. Maybe there's mysterious zombies behind every door. But it really looked like Carl was just having a hard time dealing with being in a house again. Like, I don't know. I'm not excited. This week I thought, yeah, they're going to get trapped and it's going to be an ambush. And then it was like, no, they're just going to run down a road full of zombies. I'm like, oops.
Hey, to give the episode credit, it did start, at least got some action in there. I liked it when he punched the dude in the face. It seemed like something that I would do. You stop talking, you're getting punched in the face. Plus, you really don't want to joke around.
You know, even when you're right, I'm sorry, even when you're wrong, Josh,
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, I know. Thanks.
Yeah, man, I really nailed that.
Me and Rick got a lot in common, but the PTSD.
I'm telling you, I'm going to let you all in on a little secret. You're going to be let down next week. I just,
yeah.
I would be surprised. Let's do the over-under on the number of zombies we see. I would say it's under seven.
I'm going to say zero. I'm going with the big fat nil.
Yeah, I only say under seven because I'm assuming there might be posters
by
or some.
By the way, did somebody call them roamers?
There were three.
What is with this show and not calling them zombies? Mike, I'm going to tell you this right now. If the apocalypse was to ever happen and these motherfuckers are running around eating people, the first thing I'm going to say is, that's a motherfucking zombie. I'm not going to name it anything else.
That's a roller because they roll everywhere.
They rolling. They on fucking skates eating people. Whee!
So... There actually, I noticed this while I was doing, or I was watching the show. There were three different names given to
this is ridiculous.
Zombies. There were roamers.
Roamers, man.
There were
walkers.
God, what was the other one? There is a third one in there. Go back and watch it.
I don't want to.
It's an Easter egg. It's the third type of zombie you were unaware existed. No, I don't know,
what
man.
About here?
I want more zombie entertainment. I can't get enough.
Dude,
zombie entertainment.
I have had plenty of enough.
Zombies. No, I don't. I want more zombie. I want more zombie entertainment.
They're not zombies, man.
I want more walkers. I don't care what you call them. I want more dead people that walk around trying to make
this
more dead people.
This show is making me mad that they don't call them zombies.
What makes
it's like
mad,
they forgot that they ever lived in that world. It's like nothing ever existed.
What I'm tired of is that it's sort of like, yeah, we're just going to walk down the road for a while. Like, I don't want any more walking down the road for a while. Like, I want
this
them...
has turned into the Lord of the Zombies.
I really want it to be like...
more walking.
You know, like Day of the Dead. Like, I want it to be... Or I guess that's a Mexican holiday.
Let
that's,
me ask you something.
Not at all the same thing. But, like, I want some George Romero shit. Like, I want, like...
Right, okay.
Actual zombie apocalypse in the day sort of stuff. Not sort of just like...
Okay,
gonna go for... Gonna go for a walk. Good thing I brought my knife today.
I'm gonna stick my gun in this blender because in case we get ran over, I can fall back and shoot my baby in the head.
And I honestly feel like we're at a point where we're just waiting for one good zombie kill an episode,
and it's over.
And it's like, okay, he got him with the flare gun.
That was so bad. I'm sorry, but that was so bad.
I've never seen one of these kinds of guns before, Dad. Whatever.
Shoot him in the eye! God, what is going on? Then the car wash thing or whatever the fuck. Oh, man.
Did you like the throwback to the old man with the fishing cap that fixed the Winnebago all the
Carl,
time?
Carl, your mom's a whore!
I liked when
I wish we could get Booger to play that guy. It would have been so much better. Oh my God. That would have been incredible. It would have been. Booger should have been him, Dale. Booger should have been Dale.
I would have been so sad when Dale died if it had been Booger.
Exactly, man. See, I should be in charge of casting the show.
It'd be the worst show.
It would be the worst show.
You know what it would be?
It already is.
It would be that sci-fi Z Nation. That's what it would be. It would be that show.
Hey, man. Don't knock it till you see it.
Oh, I've watched all of them.
Could you imagine him going, "We've got Bush"? just to throw it in there. I don't care. Just say it, Booger. I don't care where you do it, where, how it happens. Put your head on, like, you know, in the under the RV hood, and just get your hands in there and pull up. Scene back. We'll pull the camera back and say, "We've got Bush."
Oh, if only she'd taken that shot, Booger would have lived. And
Booger should have been Dale. And there was. We just need a battery. I like how dipshit redhead commando guy, or what do I call him? Hetfield. I call him. I think it's like James Hetfield, redhead Hetfield. He's like the mentally handicapped guy that you just kind of, you know, you talk with him every now and then just to feel good about yourself, and then you just chat with him. And he's like, he looks down and goes, "We're gonna make it."
No, I believed him.
A fucking bright red light is its low voltage.
I didn't know what that meant.
Idiot. I thought he was like, oh, he's definitely looking at the gas, not the bright-ass light flashing in his face. "We're going to make it." I hate that character, and I hate the mullet guy.
Mullet guy needs to go home. But
it's like, yeah, we got all these wild cards. Like, that's his only line of the whole episode.
But I liked Michael Kudlitz. I never say his name right. He's from Band of Brothers. He played Bull. He was a really good character in Band of Brothers.
Yeah, but not here.
But here, not so much.
You're right. He did play in that, and it was different. He was blonde-haired, and he didn't look like a fucking plague.
And he, like, rolled over right before the tank smushed him. They're like, "Where's Bull?" It was a great episode of Band of Brothers, but you know what? Not a great episode of The Walking Dead. So.
This is true.
Yeah.
What kills me is all the doors of it. Now, I just want to say we criticize this because we love it. Do you understand that, people? It's not because we hate it. It's because we love it and we want to see it do better than what it's doing. You got to understand that. There's a thin line, okay? There is a thin line. We love that show, okay? We do. And it shouldn't be this bad is what we're saying. It started off, we feel good. We feel good about it. And we're like, what the fuck happened? The casting was, like, I felt solid. And then all of a sudden it turned into something else. We're going to have to talk to Gail about that because we can't have this stuff.
I sometimes wonder if she's just kind of like, just put my name on that. Just turn it in for me. I was totally there. Just sign me in because I got a thing I got to go to. But I don't, you know, I got to get this credit. Otherwise, I'm not going to pass. So, yeah. No, I agree with you. I love the idea of a zombie anything. I can't get enough zombie games. I can't get enough zombie movies.
Zombie gamed out.
But if you give me crap, I will call you out on it. Like, I do not want garbage zombie stuff because I don't have time for it.
No, nobody does.
I don't know. There's so much more they could do than just wander around the forest or down a road or in a prison or on a farm. Like,
we're going to go into another community.
I'm going to hang out in a barn for three episodes.
Again, another episode where they say that they're going to go to the next level about how this is the best season to date. It is not the best season to date. It is not even near. It is, by the way, mid-season. So how the fuck can you make these statements?
I'm telling you, Josh, when they start getting chased by invisible zombie dinosaurs, we'll know that it's over.
This is true. Brian. Wake up, little boy.
Oh, he's had such a big day, ruining my entire week.
What does Taco Mayo have to do with anything?
No, it's like literally 35 miles from here, and I am going to go.
You know, their soft tacos are better than Taco Bell's.
Their bean burritos are badass.
Yeah, we should be saying this show is not brought to you by Taco Mayo.
I love it. God forbid I love something.
Not mayo, mayo.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that would be bad if it was Taco Mayo.
Could you imagine?
Whoa.
Oh, what the hellman's in this show?
Whoa.
Hey, does Adrian Peterson get traded?
To where?
Dallas.
I'm going to say yes.
You're going to say yes?
She doesn't like it, but I'm going to say yes.
Who doesn't like it?
The woman that controls the show.
Oh.
The British lady.
She did not like it. All right.